Once again, this evening's scripture reading is taken from Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Matthew 7, 21 through 23. I'll be reading from the New American Standard Version. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.
Good to be here tonight. Hope everyone had a good and peaceful, restful afternoon. As Dan suggested, I started a sermon this morning and centered around Joshua and Caleb and basically the mentality that they had. And as we began the sermon, if you weren't here, we started by looking at the time when the Israelites arrived at the border of the Promised Land. And they had the responsibility of simply going in and possessing the land, but their lack of faith prevented them from doing that. And so instead of going into the land, they sent spies to investigate the land. God allowed them to do that. He even regulated how they were to do it. But then the 10 spies came back and they gave an evil report. They said, we're not able possess the land, even though it is a land flowing with milk and honey, a very fruitful land. The sons of Anak are there. The giants are over there, and so we cannot possess it. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. They are stronger than we. But Joshua and Caleb, they had a totally different mentality. They had the mentality that is demonstrated by a we are able kind of thinking. And so we sort of worked on that we need to have a we are able mentality ourselves. As individuals, we need to think in a positive way like that. And even as congregations, we need to develop the mentality that says we can, not we can't. And let me just say in passing, just to be clear, when I talk about the idea of not having an attitude that says we can't, I'm not talking about the realm of authority. We recognize that there are things that we can't do because we have a lack of Bible authority for those things. And we should never be ashamed of that, of course. We must stand where the Bible does and never do things that we're not authorized to do. But from the standpoint of ability, We need to be able to develop this mentality that Joshua and Caleb had. We are able. In Numbers chapter 13 and at verse 30, it says, but Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it. And that's the attitude that we need to possess. And so we started to look at that and we said there are three things that will come as a result of that. The first one is that we will operate with optimism, and that's what we dealt with this morning. Just quickly in the book of Numbers once again, this time in chapter 14, we see Joshua and Caleb demonstrating this kind of mentality. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes and said to all of the congregation of the people of Israel, the land which we pass through to spy it out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. And right away we see when we look at these passages of scripture that their different mentality centered around their trust in God. If the Lord delighted us, he will bring us into the land. And so they were able to operate with optimism because they put their trust in God. They realized that it wasn't their own ability that was going to get the job done, but it was the strength and the power of God. He gave the promise that they would possess the land and he would carry it through if they were willing to act upon that. In fact, we pointed out that their confidence centered around the fact that the Lord was with them. Numbers 14 at verse 9, only do not rebel against the Lord and do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their protection is removed from them and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And so that realization that God is with us, that makes all the difference in the world when it comes down to living our life in a way that is pleasing to God. We recognize that we're not alone, but God is with us. When we do that, we can operate with optimism. Now, just two more points we want to make. My keyboard is not working up here, so I have to keep doing it with my mouse. That slows me down. We will practice with persistency. If we have this "we are able" mentality, those who think like that are those who are going to be active members of the Lord's church. Those who don't trust God enough to say "we are able" are usually going to end up being inactive. And the reason for that is because of the various reasons for being inactive. Number one is a shortage of faith. And as we know, that was the problem with the children of Israel. That's why they didn't enter into the land of promise. They didn't act the way they were supposed to when they reached that border. It's because they had a lack of faith. In fact, when you turn over to Hebrews chapter 3, let's read over there just for a moment. Notice what the Hebrews writer says. Hebrews, the third chapter, and beginning at verse 17. Hebrews 3 and at verse 17. The Hebrews writer writes this. He says, "With whom was he, that is God, provoked for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose body fell in the wilderness?" And you'll notice one thing. We don't have time to develop this, but sin and unbelief always go together. The fact of the matter is, when it comes to the people of God, unbelief is sin. And so those words are sort of used interchangeably as you read through this passage in Hebrews chapter 3. That's a sermon for another time, though. He says at verse 18, it says, "And with whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient?" And so we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. And you notice the language there. They were unable to enter. Because when you have a lack of faith, it just kind of causes you to freeze. You're going to be inactive if you don't completely and totally trust God. A shortage of faith is a problem. But the fact of the matter is, there really is no excuse for not trusting, not believing and having faith in God. Like, why wouldn't you trust God in everything that he says? Well, I'm not sure if God always tells the truth. Well, of course he does. The Hebrews writer in Hebrews chapter 6 and at verse 18, a popular passage, it says that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope that is set before us. One thing we should always know, God always keeps his word. God always does what he says. He keeps his promises. God cannot lie. And so we can't use that excuse. Well, I don't trust God completely because he hasn't always told the truth. No, man sometimes lies, but God never does. Well, I don't know if I can trust God so far as helping me and supplying for the things that I need, or maybe he wants to, but maybe he just doesn't have enough. Well, that's not the case at all. You remember what the psalmist tells us in Psalms 50 at verse 12, verse 10 beginning, "For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all of the birds of the hill and all of the that move in the fields is mine. If I were hungry," he says, "I would not tell you, for the world and its fullness are mine." And we're reminded that it's not like God needs us. We need God. And the fact of the matter is, He'll come through. He'll supply everything that we need. He may not give us everything we want, but He'll give us what we need. And He has plenty to do that. I own the cattle upon a thousand hills. Well, maybe He just doesn't have the ability to really help us and guide us. Well, Paul answers that in Ephesians 3 at verse 20. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work in us. Truth of the matter is, we don't have the capability of comprehending just how great God is. So it can't be a matter of God not being able. It can't be a matter, it's not a matter of God not being willing. We understand that God, again, always tells the truth. He wants to help us and guide us, and He has the ability and the power to do it. And so I ask again, why would you ever not trust and not have faith in God? The fact of the matter is, when we lack faith, it stops us from doing what we ought to do, being what we ought to be in the Lord. It leads to being inactive. Whenever you see those in the church who are inactive, it could be that the problem is a shortage of faith. But there could be another problem that sometimes paralyzes those who are God's children, and that is a spirit of fear. Fear, again, often paralyzes God's people. That was a problem with the children of Israel. We already read the verse, but let's look at it again in the book of Numbers. Verse 9, you notice, only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land. For they are bread for us, their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And again, that becomes a problem. You look at those who are inactive, those who are not really working in the vineyard of the Lord, those who aren't active members in the kingdom, a lot of times it points back to fear. And in fact, these things sometimes work together. People fear because they have a lack of faith. And that was the problem with the Israelites as they were frozen there at the border of the land of promise. They didn't act. They didn't go into the land because they had a lack of faith. That caused them to fear what was on the other side. And too often, that is the case. And so we need to lay aside the spirit of fear. There are many passages, we don't have time tonight, to look at all of the passages where the Bible encourages us not to fear. The truth is, it paralyzes us. Why is it that more of us don't tell other people about Jesus? Why is it that there's too many within the kingdom of God who won't earnestly contend for the faith? Why is it that so many of us won't let our light shine like we should? Or so many who aren't willing to defend the purity of the gospel of Christ. Why is it that there are many people who will never enter into Canaan? I'm not talking about the geological place, the geographical place, but I'm talking about the heavenly city. There's a lot of us who won't make it because we're paralyzed by fear here on earth, and it stops us from acting, from being active members in the local churches that we are members of, and we have to lay aside that fear. Have you ever been afraid to cross over a high bridge? I'm talking about in your vehicle. You'd be surprised how many people freeze up when it comes to driving over some of the longer and higher bridges here in America. Like it's a big problem. It's not something you see all the time, but there's a lot of people who, when they are driving over one of the larger bridges, they freeze up right in the middle. And that, of course, causes a problem. When that happens daytime and there's a lot of cars, it causes a traffic jam. And that is something that happens enough, at least, with some of the longer and higher bridges that we have here in America. They have established what they call bridge attendants. And what they do is, when something like that occurs, someone just stops driving in the middle of the bridge. the attendant will go over, try to calm the driver down a little bit and have them move over to the other seat or get in the back or whatever, and the attendant will drive the rest of the way over the bridge. And again, I don't know that I've ever been in that situation, but evidently it happens from time to time. In fact, in 1 year, the Michigan Timid Motorist Program helped 830 drivers to get over a particular bridge. That seems like a lot in 1 year. That happened to 830 drivers. They just froze in the middle of the bridge. This was the Mackinac Bridge in Michigan. It is 5 miles long and 200 feet high. And evidently, there were hundreds of people during the course of the year who just got halfway over and decided, I can't go any further. And so that happens from time to time. That can happen spiritually, too. As we try to go over the difficult bridges of life, sometimes people freeze up. Sometimes members of the kingdom of God freeze up, and we need to do what those drivers on the bridge did. We need to be willing to scoot over and let someone else do the driving. And in this case, we need to let God take the controls. We shouldn't allow ourselves just to sit and be paralyzed and do nothing in the kingdom of God. And by the way, as I think about that illustration and those cars that literally happened to on that bridge, you know what they first developed before they actually stopped? An I can't mentality. Like they must have thought when they were just arriving to the bridge and starting to go over it that they could navigate that situation and make it across. But at some point as they were driving, they just made up in their mind, I can't do it. Can't go any further. And they stopped. And that's what happens sometimes to the people of God. I just can't do it. And we end up being paralyzed. And so we become inactive members. How many are here tonight who are inactive because of a lack of faith that leads to a lack of fear? You can't say, I am able, because a lack of faith and fear stops you from doing that. We need to rise above that. We need to put our trust in God. That's what this really is all about. But remember, we're not relying on our own strength and our own power. That was the problem in the first place, again, with the children of Israel. That's what led to their lack of courage. They were putting too much faith in themselves. Self-reliance was a problem for them. There's no way that you're going to make it through this life. There's no way that you're going to defeat the devil with all of his ability and all of his experience if you try to go it alone. If you're just relying on you, you're not strong enough to defeat the devil. But when God is with you and you're putting your faith in him, you can develop this attitude. We are able. And once you develop that, it'll be demonstrated by your activeness in the Lord's work. And so if we have this attitude, we are able. We will practice with persistency. But there's one more thing that I want to look at before we close, and that is we will shine in society. I want you to think about this idea of having total faith in God. Do you know that that's unique? Of all of the people who live on the face of the earth, there's not that many people who have complete confidence and trust and faith in God. And when you find somebody who lives like that, who has faith in God, it is something that is seen. It's demonstrative. People see it. Everybody saw it with regard to Joshua and Caleb. It was clear. They stood out from the other 10 spies. And you will stand out in this society. Your light will shine if you truly have that kind of faith that moves you to the mentality that says, I am able. I'm able to serve God. I'm not afraid to let my light shine. I'm not afraid to be involved in the work of the Lord, even though many people may not like it. I'm going to let my light shine. And that's exactly what you will do. If you go along with people in the world, then you're really not going to be noticed so much. I've often asked with the different sermons on this, have you ever heard of the man Shammua? Or if I asked you, tell me all about the life of Shaphat, what would you tell me about him? Or if I asked you, do you know what kind of man Nephi was? Or Gadiel or Igal? Have you ever even heard of those individuals? And by now you probably realize that those were five of the evil spies that brought back a bad report. And I imagine that in an audience like this, in any audience, I could ask the people, tell me who the 10 spies that brought back an evil report, tell me who they were. And it wouldn't be unusual if no one could do that. It wouldn't be that unusual if you didn't know not one of those 10 spies. You know why? Because they walked by sight. And those who walk by sight are a dime a dozen. They don't stand out in the crowd because they are the crowd. And the fact of the matter is, when you're different from that, when you really live by faith, you have that unique trust, that total trust in God, you will stand out. People may not always like you. If we had time to read the whole story of Joshua and Caleb, you might know yourself that at one point the people picked up stones and wanted to kill them. Like, it is not popular to do the right thing. It is not popular to have enough faith to say we are able and to go against the majority. And so people may not like you. But in the end, you'll have a home in heaven. You want to be a part of the crowd? You can go ahead and do that. You can fit in and not too many people will bother you. You won't stand out. You won't even be noticed. But guess what? Jesus reminds us in Matthew chapter 7 what's going to happen to those who are part of the crowd. Those who are part of the majority enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. But they stand out because they go against the majority. Joshua and Caleb stood out. We'll always remember them. We'll never remember the 10 other than just being referred to as the 10 evil spies. But Joshua and Caleb, they go down in the annals of history as men who had great faith in God, who were willing to do the right thing, to give the right report. They shined in society because they had that mentality, we are able. I hope that we'll do the same thing. It's the only way that we can make a difference in our society, the only way we can make a difference in our own homes, among our own family, is if we have the we are able mentality. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? If you haven't obeyed the gospel, I would call on you again to be like Joshua and Caleb. They weren't afraid of what the people would think or what they would say. They weren't worried even about family being upset with their decisions. Do you have enough courage to come forward and to obey the gospel of Christ? Not worrying about what others would think. Not worried about what those on the job would say when they learn that you have become a Christian. Not worried about family members who maybe are caught up in some other religion or some denomination. Not worrying about what they're going to say or think. Do you have the courage just to do what is right? To repent and to be baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2 and at verse 38. If so, you need to come forward. Don't keep putting it off. Life is like a vapor that appears for a while and then vanishes away. Have the courage of Joshua and Caleb to do the right thing. You're able to do it, but are you willing? I hope so. If so, come forward as we together stand and sing.